Everyone, nice to have you come out to Grace and Hope Mission. Special thanks to Brother Travers for coming out this evening. Praise God. He works with my wife sometime at 30th Street. Before going to the message, I'd like to go before the Lord in a prayer. My Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come before your holy throne as a yielded vessel created in Christ Jesus unto good works. My Heavenly Father, we know that Jesus Christ had a purpose when he came to this earth. And the purpose was to die for our sins. And we just want to thank you here this evening, Lord God, that we brought out in the message. Use me for thy glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tonight we're going to be reading from book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter and the 7th verse. Hebrews 10 and verse 7. Those who have it, say amen. Okay. Praise God. For the Bible says in the book of Hebrews 10:7, then say I, lo, I come in a volume of the book that is written of me to do thy will, O God. Tonight we're going to be talking about the will of God. See, because God has a will. The Bible said in the book of 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter and the 9th verse, that God is with long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But for God to save anyone's life, a price had to be paid. And Jesus Christ was that price. Jesus Christ, in the book of John, the 17th chapter, speaking about glorifying God the Father, starting at the 4th verse, reading down, Jesus said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee from the before the world was. The world was. Right. So Jesus Christ was back there with God the Father before there was the earth, the world, or the universe. He was the Word of God in heaven. The Bible said in the book of 1 John 5:7 that there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So, but Jesus Christ had a job to do on the earth. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 107:20 that God sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. In the book of John 1:14, the Bible said that the word of God became flesh and tabernacle among us. So when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he came through Mary to receive that flesh to fulfill God's will. He was called the last Adam. Now the Bible in the book of 1 Corinthians 15:45-47 said that the first man, Adam, was created from the dirt of the ground fleshly, but the last Adam came from heaven spiritually. The first man, Adam, brought sin, but the last Adam brought the redemption of sin. So that's why Jesus Christ glorified God the Father, because he was willing to be a sacrificial offer for our sins. Now it wasn't easy. In the book of Luke 22:44, Jesus Christ prayed to God the Father. Knowing what he had to do for our sins, he prayed. And this was his prayer. The Bible said, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it was a great drop of blood falling down to the ground. Now this was a prayer that Jesus Christ prayed to God the Father. Why? Because he would have to be offered up for our sins. Now, one part of Jesus Christ did not want to go to the cross. That was his flesh. But the part that wanted to go to the cross was his soul, his spirit. And he said, not my will, but thy will be done. So the will of God was Jesus Christ to be offered up as a sacrificial offer for our sins. In the book of 1 John 2:1-2, the Bible speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ not died for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. There are many people who say that Jesus Christ only died for the elect. But the elect are those who have elected to receive him in their hearts as Lord and Savior. Now the Bible in the book of 1 John 2:1-2. The Bible says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he has made a self-sacrificial offer for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So Jesus Christ did not come to die for the elect. He came to die for the sins of the whole world. That means anyone that's living on this earth can open up their faith, their heart, and receive Christ for their salvation. This is why Jesus Christ had his apostles to go out and preach the gospel. Because the Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible said that God is with long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So Jesus Christ was the foundation of that salvation. And so this is why he pleased God the Father when he came down to this earth to be abused and killed by his own creation. The Bible said God prepared a body for him. Jesus Christ came through Mary. Through that line you have the different tribes. Now the Bible speaks about the genealogy that Jesus Christ went through, coming through Mary. In the book of Luke, the third chapter. We know through Joseph, he came through Solomon, which was the king line. Through Mary, the book of Luke, the third chapter. The Bible in the book of Luke 3:24 says, which was the son of Matthias, which was the son of Levi. Now we know Levi is the line for the Levitical priesthood. In the book of Hebrews, the seventh chapter, we're going to read around the fifth verse, speaking about that line, Levitical priesthood line. Hebrews 7, around verse 5. Now the Bible said in the book of Hebrews 7:5, and verily they that are of the sons of Levi, which be the Levitical priesthood, receive the offering of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. So through that line of Mary, Jesus Christ is the partaker of that priesthood. So Jesus Christ is king. He was priest, and the line of Judah, he was also priest, and through Nathan, through that line, prophet. So you have king, priest, priest, and prophet, one person. So Jesus Christ fulfilled all of that through the fact that he came through Mary. Mary married Joseph, and spiritually they became one. And so this is how God himself fulfilled the promise that he gave to David, that he would have a kingdom, eternal kingdom, in the book of Isaiah 7, around verse 8. He gave that promise to David. So Jesus Christ did all of that to fulfill God's will. The Bible said all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus Christ. So it means if you want joy, you find it in Jesus Christ. You want peace, you find that in Jesus Christ. You want love, you find that in Jesus Christ. So whatever spiritual blessing that you need, you will find in Jesus Christ. In the book of Ephesians 1:3, the Bible said that we are blessed with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. It is said that a lot of people today, they are dying or even committing suicide because they have no relationship with God. They have a lot of money, they have a lot of fame, but they lack a relationship with God. And they get involved with religion thinking somehow they can have that relationship. But Jesus said in the book of Matthew 11, around verse 28, he said, come unto me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for meek and lowly in heart, and you would find rest for your soul. For my burden is easy, and my weight is light. So we can see that Jesus Christ is God's way of salvation. So he came here to do what? To be the sacrificial lamb, to please God. Now the Bible speaks about the volume of the book. He's speaking about the Bible. Now we know there's many books out there claiming that this part of the Bible Or we have these new translations of the Bible today, the NIVs and the New World Translations. But these are not the Bible. Jesus Christ came to fulfill what the Bible said about him, that he would, that God himself would raise up a prophet among the people like unto their brethren. This was written in the book of Deuteronomy 18:17. So God did that through Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ came, he came here as just a normal man. But he was the God-man. A lot of people say we try to make Jesus Christ out to be God, but they got it backwards. God became man in the person of Jesus Christ. He's the God-man. In the book of Matthew 1:23, the Bible said that a virgin shall be with child, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God with us. So God became man that we may become a partaker of his kingdom by faith in Jesus Christ. We look at the day of Easter. Now, we celebrate that day a lot of time with Easter eggs, the Easter bunny, but it's not about those things. Easter is representation of a new life. Because when Jesus Christ was resurrected, he came back in the same body to give us a new life, a new hope. See, without Christ, there's no hope. Without the resurrection, there's no hope. If he would have stayed in the grave, where's our hope? And a man who came and said he was going to do a lot of miracles, and he did a lot of miracles, but yet he's dead, so therefore his movement is dead. You don't want to follow a dead man's movement. A lot of people are following dead men's movement. The Muhammads, you know, the Charles Taze Russell, the Ellen G. White. These are dead people's movement. They was once alive and walking around on the earth, but they're dead and in the grave now. Their religion is still being practiced, but they're not here to overlook the religion. See, Christ watches over his word to perform it. He has angels on this earth to bring this word into manifestation. Jesus said, I would be with you until the end of the world. How can he be with us? And he's in heaven. He's with us when we put his words in our hearts. That's how he's with us. When we put our faith in him, when we accept him in our heart, that's when Jesus Christ can be in us and be with us throughout all eternity. The word of God. In the book of Psalm 119:11, what the Bible said, that word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So when you put Jesus Christ in your heart, you will put him in your heart by the word of God. This is how he's with you. This is how he fulfilled that wonderful commission. By coming here, living among his own creation, being punished by his own creation, and also being killed by his own creation to provide the way of salvation. The salvation of Jesus Christ is the death and the resurrection of Christ. So Easter is a very special day, the day of resurrection, the resurrected Savior who can give you a resurrected life. You know, the week before Jesus Christ went to the cross, he was in preparation. He had to fulfill Zechariah 9:9, coming into Jerusalem on a donkey. He fulfilled that. And people shouted out and said, Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the next week after that, the same people shouting Hosanna to the highest also said, crucify him and give us Barabbas. This can show you how people are. One minute they can love you, and the next minute they will hate you and despise you. Amen. And that's what they did to our Lord Jesus Christ. But he was willing to take the challenge in order to be our sacrifice. He was willing to be bruised by his creation to be our sacrifice. To do what? To please God the Father. God the Father is telling us to accept Christ, to hate this world. In the book of John 12:25, Jesus said, if you love your life in this world, you're going to lose it. But if you hate your life in this world, you're going to have it to eternity. There are a lot of people, they love their life in this world. They love the nightlife. They love the club. They love the fine cars and the fine women. They were not willing to give these things up to follow Christ. They love the money. They love to go out there to gamble or hang out at Atlantic City. They love to do those things. They're not willing to give their life to Christ in order to live a life that is pleasing before God the Father. You know, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he gave up a lot. You know, we live on this earth, and we can go into some of these buildings in New York. They look so beautiful. We think we're in heaven. But that's a ghetto compared to what heaven is like. You know? But see, Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven, and he came down to this sin-cursed earth to be a propitiation, a sacrificial offer for our sins. Now, he wants you to turn away from the world and to come to him. It may be a little sacrifice, you know, to live like Christ wants you to live a life apart from sin. You know, so many people, they love doing their the alcohol and the cigarettes and the drugs so much till they figure if they give their life to Christ, they can't enjoy these things anymore. But it's not an enjoyment. It's actually death. It's a death style. It's not a lifestyle. So this is why Christ came. Christ came to give you a better way. The Bible in the book of Proverbs 14 and 12 said, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. But Christ came to give you that better way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto the Father but by me. So Jesus Christ is the way of righteousness, the way that's apart from the sinful practices of this world. So when we look to Christ, we see God's love that's demonstrated in his death and his resurrection. In the book of Romans 5:8, the Bible said how God demonstrated his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died on that cross for our sins. So we just can't say God just put man on this earth and turned his back on us. No, we turn our back on God. Man has turned his back on God and went the way of sin. In the book of 2 Chronicles 15 and 2, the Bible said, if ye be with God, he'll be with you. But if ye forsake God, he would also forsake you. God would allow you to live a life your way. But you have to consider your way apart from God's way. Jesus Christ has lived the curse of sin. But in order for you to get the benefit of it, you have to turn your life over to him. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Not thinking about Christ, not talking about Christ. There are a lot of religion, they talk about Jesus Christ, but they're not willing to submit their life over to his authority and live according to his righteousness. They may go through the practice of having this so-called water baptism, Holy Communion, but that's nothing if you have not given your life over to Christ and receive his Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you on a daily basis. You can talk about Christ, but you have to have Christ in your heart in order to be saved. In the book of Romans 8:9, the Bible said, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. So you can play a game with man, but you can't play this game with God. A lot of people are playing games. On a Sunday, they look like they're so righteous. They got a Bible, and they won't even think about saying a filthy word. But Monday morning, they're back to the same old lifestyle, smoking, cursing, and looking at young ladies, ladies looking at young men. But see, this is a game that's going to go against you on the day of judgment. So Jesus' will was to please the Father. You know, God was well pleased when Jesus Christ died on that cross. In the book of Matthew 17 and 5, God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. How can we please God? I can't live a life like Jesus. I can't be perfect. You can't be perfect. How can we please God? We please God when we're willing to give our life over to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's how we please God. When we get into the Bible, read it, and put it into practice, that's how we please God. When we go out there and lift up a lifestyle of righteousness, this is how we please God. But if you're not willing to do this, you can never please God. Oh, sure, you can go out there and you can give a homeless person a sandwich, maybe some water, or maybe you can provide a place for the person to stay. But if you're not pleasing God, it's all in vain. It's like having a car without an engine or without a motor. You don't have a car, you have a frame. You can't drive a car without a motor or transmission. You just have a frame. But a lot of people, they're trying to serve God, but they want to serve God apart from believing in Christ. And it never worked. Now, you may think you're doing something good. It may look to you that it's good, but it's all in vain. Why? Because you're not glorifying God through Christ. In the book of Colossians 3:17, we're going to go back to 3:16, read down to verse 17. Colossians 3:16 and 17. The Bible said, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in words or deeds, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. So whatever you do in words and deeds, you do in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. This is how we glorify God on earth. We do everything to glorify Christ. You don't do it for yourself, not to look good before man. You do it to glorify God the Father through Christ. Jesus Christ, he did everything to glorify God the Father. If you notice some of the words that Jesus said, you go back into the Old Testament, you'll find those words in the Old Testament. Why? Because he was fulfilling the Old Testament in the New. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So Jesus Christ fulfilled the laws and the prophet like he said he would in the book of Matthew 5:17. He said, think not I come to destroy the laws and the prophet, but to fulfill. And when that was accomplished, he went to the cross, and that was actually like putting the signature to his salvation when he died and gave up his ghost and he shed his blood. He signed his name to his salvation by the death of himself by his own blood. Remember what the Bible said about the blood of Jesus Christ? 1 John 1:7. That if we walk in the light as he is to light, we would have fellowship one with another. And the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, will cleanse us from all sin. Why blood? Why not some type of ritual? You know the reason that God used blood? Because each and every one of us is connected by the blood of Adam. Did you know that? In the book of Acts 17:26, the Bible said God has created all mankind from the same blood. So Jesus Christ came in the bloodline, but he didn't have the bloodline of Adam. He had the blood of God. Acts 20:28. That was the blood of God that he shed. Jesus Christ said in the book of Matthew 26:28, Jesus said, this is my blood of the New Testament that will be shed for the remission of sin. So Jesus' blood was apart from the blood of Adam. It was the blood of God. Now God made the blood that's in Adam's vein. God made the blood that's in our veins. But this blood was a sacrificial offer that Jesus Christ was shed on the cross. So when we look to the day of the crucifixion, we look to salvation. When you look to the day of Easter, the Resurrection Sunday, that's a new life, a new beginning. So Easter Sunday should be a new beginning for those who have not received Christ, to receive Christ, to get right with God. Not just a day to be celebrated by hiding Easter eggs, walking around with a little bunny, a little rabbit ears on your head and all this stuff, but looking up to Jesus Christ, looking up to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, and acknowledging what he done when he came here, and to see the real true meaning behind the resurrection. A new life, a new relationship with God, a relationship that you never had with God when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. So let this Easter Sunday be a celebration. It's going to come up in about, what, another week or two? 2 weeks? Let it be a celebration. Not just a day that you're going to just say, well, this is Easter, I'm going to run to the church. You know, most people go to church Easter, I think Christmas and New Year's or something like that. 3 times a year. But let it be a statement of a new life. It says, yes, I'm going to acknowledge this day as my new life, because I'm going to give my life over to Christ, and I'm going to be resurrected in him as a new person, as a new creature in Christ. Jesus said in the book of Hebrews 10:7, and lo, I come in the volume of the book, and it's written of me to do thy will, O God. The Bible is just not another book that's written by man. The Bible is a book that's written by God through the vessel of man. You read the book of Jeremiah 36:2. God told Jeremiah to get a page, to get a scroll, and write down these words. The prophets wrote it down, and the apostles wrote it down. This is why we have the Bible. See, the Bible goes beyond man's understanding. I could sit here all night long and try to talk to you about the spiritual realm. You would have no idea what that's about. Why, you can't see it. I can tell you about a car, a camera, or computer, you can go there, you can understand that because you can see that with your natural eye. See, this is why Jesus Christ used parables to explain a realm that's invisible to the natural eye. He used something you can relate to in a natural sense to explain that which is in a supernatural, a spiritual sense. He went to that level to get you to understand God's kingdom, a kingdom of righteousness, a spiritual kingdom that cannot be seen by the natural eye. And he wants you to be a part of that kingdom by receiving Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. The ball is in your court. You have a free will. You can continue to say, Christ is for you, he's not for me. I'm going to keep on living my life my way. Billions of people said those statements, said those words before you. Remember that. You're not the only one that rejects Christ. The world is rejecting Christ for the passing pledges of sin. Most people, fair to say, will end up dying in their sins, going to hell. Only a few people is willing to do it God's way through Jesus Christ. Will you be among that few? That straight and narrow way of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let Jesus Christ resurrect you out of the deadness of sin by you receiving him into your heart and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you on a daily basis. And we feed the Holy Spirit as we read the Word of God. Like you eat food to feed your flesh, you read the Word of God to feed your spirit and your soul on a daily basis. So think about your eternal life. Not just earthly life. It's gonna come to a close very soon. Think about your eternal life. You're not here to just live on this earth. You're here to get right with God, and your soul will exist forever somewhere. That's somewhere decided by what you do with Christ. If you accept him, he would accept you on the day of judgment. If you reject him, he's going to reject you on the day of judgment. The way you treat Christ is how he would treat you on the day of judgment. And I think that's fair. I think that's very fair. That he's given his life on the cross for your sins. He has shown you a life that is pleasing before God the Father. And all you have to do is exercise your faith to fall in line to do it his way by the word of God. What more can he do? He can force you, but that's not love. Force someone to obey is not love. Giving you the opportunity to exercise your will to do it, that's love. And this is how God has demonstrated his love toward us, by giving us an opportunity to exercise our will to accept Jesus Christ into our hearts for the salvation of our souls. Is there anyone here tonight that's tired of their life? They want to make a statement? To say, yes, I want to do it God's way? There's only two ways in life, the way of righteousness and the way of wickedness. You don't have a way. Your way is, apart from God, is the devil's way. The Bible speaks about righteousness, and the Bible speaks about wickedness, light and darkness. Jesus Christ is the spirit of light, righteousness. Satan is the spirit of darkness. There's only two ways of life. So come and receive Christ, and you can celebrate Easter as a new life in Christ. Tonight we're going to be singing from hymn number
left out.
Okay, a lot of people want to blame God for the things that man is doing against God. See, God has his spiritual laws to govern the earth. In the book of Isaiah 24, 5 and 6, the Bible speaks about how the earth was cursed because of sin. And this curse is in the form of sickness, disease, and also you have a lot of hurricanes and earthquakes and all these things. This is the reaction of disobeying the commandments of God. Because the Word of God created the earth and the universe, And if we want to be blessed, we have to obey the word of God. To disobey the word of God is to bring the curse upon the earth, sickness, disease, famines, pestilence, and all these other things that would happen to the, all these calamities that would happen to the earth. So when people blame God for because of man disobedience, they're putting God in the wrong picture. God is a God of love.
What I'm also saying to me is that we have to suffer while through this process.
You will suffer to resist sin. Yes, you're going to suffer to resist sin because your flesh is still corrupt. You will suffer to resist sin.
Okay, my flesh, I can go with you on all that, but I don't want my soul to get corrupted.
Well, just stick with the Word of God. Don't listen to all this talk about God. Just believe what the Bible says about Jesus Christ and God, and you'll be safe.
Amen.
I had a song here, but somehow or another, I... 110? Okay. We're going to go to hymn number 110. Jesus is tenderly calling. He has a still small voice. Stand, everyone please stand. Jesus is tenderly calling. He's calling you out of sin. He's calling you into his righteousness. He's calling you to his kingdom. The kingdom of love, peace, happiness, joy, long-suffering, and meekness in the Holy Spirit. Hymn number 110. Jesus is tenderly calling.
Tender calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam, farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Calling the weary to rest, calling today, bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed, he will not turn thee away. Oh, come to him now, waiting today, come with thy sins at his feet, lonely bow, come and no longer delay, calling today. The Lord Jesus did say, in the last days, there will be famines and earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars. The world is coming to an end. This is not the perfect world. Our hope is to go to the world that is perfect, wherein dwelleth righteousness. But to be part of this kingdom of righteousness, this new heaven, this new earth, we must be in Christ and Christ be in us. And this is what the Lord did for us when he came to earth to do the will of God. He made the way for us to become part of his beautiful kingdom in which there will be no more diseases, racism, death. This is not how God wants us to live. But God made the way for us to live in this beautiful kingdom. It's not a fairy tale. It's the truth. And you can become part of this kingdom because Jesus went to the cross to pay for your sin and mine. So as we sing this last verse, is God's will being done in your life? Are you doing the will of God or are you doing the will of Satan? If you're doing the will of Satan, you will not enter that new heaven, that new earth. But this evening, you can come to the altar. Give your life to Jesus. Believe in the one who died on the cross for your sin and rose from the dead. Come to him, and you can be part of this beautiful kingdom in which death shall be no more. Let us sing. You know who you are. Come up to the altar. Become part of the kingdom of God. Become part of the family of God. Jesus is pleading, hopeless to his voice. Hear him today. Hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice. Quickly arise and away. Calling today. Calling today. Jesus is calling. Is tenderly calling today. Father God, in Jesus' name, we do thank you for this sweet hour of prayer and praise. And Lord God, we thank you for the one who's come up to the altar and draw him even closer to thee. And Lord God, for those who don't know you, for those who are still not part of your beautiful, holy, righteous kingdom, Lord God, let them see that this all world is coming to an end and that they need you. There's only hope in you. There's only joy in you. And that Jesus did die on the cross to make the way that they can be connected with you, have a relationship with you. Lord, we do.
Good evening, everyone. Saints and also future saints. I want to be positive. I want to believe that everybody that comes to this mission one day would get saved. Before I go to the message, I'd like to go before the Lord with a prayer.